This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back at it in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery Show live on this Wednesday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Braves have an early 1-0 lead. We're watching some All Elite Wrestling. They're from Gas South Arena tonight before they head out to jolly old London, England. This, though, is your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. Day-Day, I'll ask you this question. Falcons Wire, which is part of the USA Today Sports, and it's the Falcons' dedicated website, what have you, articles and different things like that. They have a poll up right now, okay? And they ask, should the Falcons play their starters in the preseason finale? Okay. Now, I know how fans think, but what would be your answer to that? What would be your personal answer to that question?
My personal answer is I don't think they should, but if they are, it doesn't need to be, it has to be all. So if we're talking offense, it has to be all the ones. And it needs to be, you know, equal time. So if it's a series, four plays, whatever the case may be, I wouldn't be mad at something like that. But I don't think they need to do it.
So, as you can imagine, when they asked this poll question, the yes votes were the majority, okay? What do you think the percentage was, yes to no?
Probably like 95%.
It's not that bad, but okay. It's close. I mean, it's 84.13% yeah. say yes to 15.87% say no. And I understand. I understand from a fan perspective. However, it's a long season, and you have to evaluate guys that are going to, again, you don't have to evaluate Drake London and Kyle Pitts. You do have to evaluate the Penny Harts of the world and the J.J. Arcega-Whitesides. That's the guys you have to evaluate. You don't have to evaluate A.J. Terrell, but your fourth string corners, you know, you have to evaluate those guys, right? I mean, we don't have to evaluate Chris Lindstrom, but you need to evaluate Jalen Mayfield. Yep. And I'm just saying that as an example, that you need this time to evaluate those guys. And especially when you have one less preseason game and without an extra bye, you have a week longer in the regular season. So I understand fans' thought about this, but I don't think the starters should play. I'm in the camp of don't play your starters. I know what my starters are going to be. I know what they are. And playing 4, 6, 8, 10 snaps in a third preseason game isn't going to change my mind. It's not going to make it any better. That's the reality of it. So, again, I understand all that, but anyway. Scott Baer had a good article, and I talked about this on my podcast this morning. And we're going to get into this with Tori McElhaney here. She's coming up in about 15 minutes from right now. But, you know, Matt Collins is suddenly becoming a leader in this locker room. And here's what he had to say after Monday's practice. Quote, "Nobody has a spot locked in our room. That's our mindset that you compete every day. I'm not a starter. Drake isn't a starter. Scotty Miller isn't a starter. Every day is a competition where you have an opportunity to prove yourself. That's how we'll go all the way through the end of the season. Every week is an opportunity to take a spot. I've been saying it since I got here. Quote, there are no free lunches." And I like that. Now, look, again, is the reality, you know, what he's saying? No, of course not. Matt Collins and Drake London are going to start. And Kyle Pitts is going to start. But what have we heard all training camp long and even in the preseason? Competition. Competition, competition, competition. Guys getting after one another. Everybody competing against one another. That's been a consistent theme. And I think Matt Collins is really starting to become a leader in this locker room. Again, I'm not saying that Calais Campbell and some of these other guys aren't leaders or this, that, and the other, but it really does feel like that Matt Collins is starting to become one of those vocal leaders. And we know he's a little bit odd, right? He's the guy that doesn't want to wear shoes and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, God forbid, I can barely walk as it is. I got to have some shoes and some support and things like that. But anyway, I mean, look, he's becoming more and more of a vocal leader for this team, and I'm liking this, and I'm liking what he's saying, and I'm liking the mentality that he's bringing to this team. So don't be surprised if Matt Collins isn't one of these guys that we look back at the end of the year and say, wow, that was a really good pick. That was a really good pickup to go grab him. That was a really good signing to be able to go grab him. So, again, obviously we're a long way to go, and we'll evaluate that come this time next year or come, you know, January. But I'm liking what I'm hearing out of Matt Collins so far. All right, let's get to some audio. Here's Arthur Smith talking about how everyone feels great about their upcoming season, but we're still optimistic.
I imagine most people probably feel pretty good. We haven't played any real games yet, but the preseason games have been a good. There's so many different things going on that are different in regular season. So, yeah, we feel great, but I'd imagine there's a lot of optimism still around the league. We got to continue. We got plenty of opportunity ahead of us before we kick off September 10th.
Well, look, yes, nobody's played a game yet, so everybody should be optimistic, right? I mean, there's no reason to not be optimistic in all this. I mean, there's no reason to not be, you know, excited about what's coming up here, and no reason to not be excited about what this season will hold. So, again, everybody's in good spirits right now because nothing has been played yet. All right, here's Arthur Smith talking about his philosophy on constructing the roster.
Certainly for us it has, for the Atlanta Falcons, but even in Tennessee there were so many transactions that were made. But that's, I think it's changed more in the last 10 years. I think there were certain teams, I think New England was one off the top of my head. I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out, but they seem to be pretty aggressive transactionally. But there's other teams that it was like there was no movement. And I think the league has gotten more transactional. You even see it in the offseason, the amount of trades and, you know, players change teams so much now.
I definitely think that the Falcons are, even after all the cuts are made, I still think that there are players that they are looking at. Look, I've been very adamant. I want to see another interior offensive lineman. I want to see somebody sign. I don't know who that guy is. Again, that's what Terry Fontenot gets paid millions of dollars for. I don't get paid millions of dollars, trust me. I don't get paid four cheeseburgers, okay? So, again, I that's not my job to scour through all of the available players. That's his job. And I would like to see him more. Listen, I'll give you pass rushers. Melvin Ingram, Justin Houston, Ngakoue, Like, I'll give you guys that I know are on the marketplace that, hey, let's get one of those guys, right? So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think the Falcons will be busy from a transaction perspective. And this is what Terry Fontenot's specialty is, right? Finding NFL players to bring on your roster. That's his. He's pro personnel, right? Not necessarily college. It's pro personnel. All right, here's Arthur talking about ball security when fighting for extra yards at the end of runs.
First, I mean, you're talking about ball security, whether that's the ball can get punched out. The guys have gotten pretty good at it, you know, in the open field. The guys, you know, there's a lot of different ways, but we're going to fight for extra yards. And, you know, certain things in the goal line, you, I mean, guys reach out on second or third down. We've seen those fumbles go out of bounds. Those are different situations. But it's hard to get a yard in this league, and we'll fight for every inch.
Well, again, look, their running back room is loaded, right? I mean, we didn't talk about this, I don't think, on the show, Day-Day, but I talked about it on my podcast. Mike Florio has them as the best running back room in the NFL. He's got now, again, his what's his buddy's name? Chris Sims. He's got the Jets with the best running back. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw that happen once they signed Cook. A lot of people were saying they might have had the best running back room in the league.
I'll give it to the Falcons. I think the depth of the Falcons. That was pretty high praise from
that.
And by the way, and the stat that I did not know, if you take away quarterback rushing yards, okay, take away quarterback rushing yards, the Falcons had more rushing yards from other players that weren't quarterbacks of anybody in the league. They had the most rushing yards in the league of non-quarterback players. And that was interesting because I did not know that stat either. So, again, it's a really good running back room, and these guys are tough-minded guys, so I don't think that we're going to have any kinds of problems with our running back room. All right, here's Arthur Smith talking about the physicality of Monday's practice and all of camp.
Yesterday, I mean, if you go back and look at the tape, I mean, it was about as physical as a practice as I remember up front, but nothing that was, you know, where it didn't get it out of control, where there was, you know, pushing and shoving going on at the end of plays, where guys were saying, I mean, it was what you want from a padded practice and the work we needed to get, and even the quarterbacks feeling a little bit of the pocket, you know, guys. Those reps are invaluable, and when you can practice like that, so that's when you change it up day by day. But it's just your team's different. But yesterday and really this whole camp, when we've gone on the pads, have been pretty damn physical.
It is kind of funny, just only in the sense of NFL practices ain't what they used to be. You talk about physical in the old days of two-a-day. I mean, look, talk to Hugh Douglas. I talked to him. I sat right, you know, 2 feet, 3 feet from him. Talked to him many times about all that. It's a whole different world, though, now. So, anyway. All right, here's Bijan. How do we say it, Day-Day?
Bijan.
Bijan. No, but you're pronouncing the J. I don't think it's a J sound.
I think the J is in there, but it's just how you pronounce it. It's not Bijan. It's Bijan or something like that. It's not Bijan.
Bijan? Here's Bijan talking about balancing self-preservation and fighting for extra yards.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you got to protect yourself, but then you want to, like, still dive forward and get as many yards as you can, break as many tackles as you can, because I feel like you shouldn't be an easy target to tackle. I feel that you should, like, understand who you're going up against and use different angles to break tackles, but sometimes you can obviously get kind of exposed, so really just kind of protecting yourself and knowing when to protect yourself, because, you know, you got guys flying all over the place, and you're the one that they're trying to get. So really just understanding how to protect yourself and how to, like, get down when you're supposed to.
Well, again, you know, I don't know. I mean, it is what it is, I guess, at this point. So yes, there's self-preservation, but you know, it's just not in the nature of guys to want to try to get down. But anyway, all right, here's Bijan Robinson about training camp was a huge learning experience and how to learn the offense.
Yeah, I grew a lot mentally. You know, with playing in the NFL, like, you gotta make sure your mindset is always sharp and is always clear, because there's a lot of mental aspects that can get to you, get to me, especially like as much as I'm learning. I kind of got a grasp of it like week two. That's when I started to like find my regiment, find my routine, and then after that, that's when everything just started coming, you know, a lot easier for me. I started remembering everything that I hadn't remembered. But I mean, I think that just me, you know, understanding, you know, the game in a wide variety of like so many positions, and you know how to use, you know, your talents in so many different ways. But then to, especially for me as a rookie, you know, trying to be a rookie and get the mental aspect of the game.
Well, positionless football. Look, I'm going to be fascinated to see in the first 4 weeks of the year, what's his carries going to look like? What's his receptions going to look like? Are they going to work him in slow? Are they going to work him in fast? Is he working heavily in the passing game but not the run game, or vice versa? I'm going to be fascinated to see what his touches look like, because you want to get the football in his hands as often as you can. But how do they do that, and how does that go about? What if he's not catching passes? Do you start running him more? You know, it's all of those things that I want to see what he does. All right, let's hear from the quarterback, Desmond. Now, are we calling it Ryder or Ritter? Or Ritter? Rear. Call it Ritter? All right. Well, I guess we got to go to break, so I'm sorry. All right. We'll hear from him a little bit later on here. We'll get this at the 9 o'clock hour, because I want to hear what Desmond, what is it called? Rear?
He's Ritter.
Not Ridder.
Ritter.
Or is it just Rear?
Ritter.
Rear. Rear. Anyway. All right. When we come back, Tori McElhaney is going to join us. We'll talk some Falcons foosball with her as we get ready for preseason game number 3. Chuck, we're hanging out in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuck Reshow coming to you live on this Wednesday evening as well. We get ready for final preseason game for the Atlanta Falcons coming up tomorrow night. We'll have all of your coverage starting at 5:30 with the pregame show right here on 92.9 The Game, your home, your radio home of the Atlanta Falcons. Wes and Dave will have the call coming up at 7:30. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our friend of the show. She, of course, covers the Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. Tori McElhaney joining us here. You can follow Tori on her Twitter page at Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, thanks for a few minutes on the show with me this evening.
Of course, no worries.
You know, I want to talk first about something that your colleague Scott Baer had written, and I talked about this on my podcast this morning. You know, I really like what Mac Holland's been saying as far as no free lunches. Everybody's competing. We know that that's been a big theme of, you know, training camp and going into preseason. How much of a leader do you think that he's become on this team? Have you kind of seen, I know he's kind of a quirky guy, but, you know, has he really kind of stepped up in the leadership role for this squad?
Yeah, he has. And it goes back to something that I think it was TJ Yates when we were talking to him the first day of joint practices in Miami, and he was specifically asked about Mac Collins, and he was like, Mac Collins has stepped into a role as a leader in this room, and not only in this room, but I think within the offensive unit as well. He's very vocal in a way that I didn't expect from him. I mean, this is a guy who has kind of been a career special teams guy, and last year was the first year that he really got any significant type of looks at receiver, and he goes out and has, you know, a really good production in that year. And now he has the opportunity to kind of make something of himself as a receiver in this offense. And I think that's something that he's going into this year being excited about, because he's like, hey, like, what do I have to lose almost?
Do you think that the coaching staff has even been surprised by just his level of just leadership, performance, things like that? I mean, I, again, to your point, a guy that really kind of played a lot of special teams, but, you know, we saw kind of that breakout year. But, you know, again, this is Terry Fontenot's specialty, is finding guys that are NFL players and bringing them in, you know, to a roster and getting them to fit. Do you think even the coaches were a little bit surprised just about how good maybe Mac Collins is?
Perhaps. I mean, I haven't asked them that question directly, so I don't want to, like, put words in their mouth that they haven't said. But I have to imagine that you go out and you get a guy like Mac Collins and you understand kind of what his history is, and that there isn't a lot of film, per se, with him being a true, let's say, number two receiver. And so you go out and you get him, and he's kind of this odd bird, I think you can say. I think he maybe would say the same thing about himself. And he kind of comes in here and he becomes something that I know I didn't expect him becoming when they signed him. And, you know, I don't know what the coaches feel, but I have to imagine there it's probably a pleasant surprise for them too.
Yeah, and for the record, I have to wear shoes. I can't afford to, you know, slip and fall. But anyway, Tori McElhaney joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. If we expect that no starters by and large are going to play tomorrow, you know, we even saw in the first preseason game where, you know, Arnold Ebiketie did play a lot of snaps. Is there a guy or two that, I don't know, I mean, could be a starter or, you know, could be, you know, somebody that they really want to evaluate even more, that I'm not saying necessarily even on the bubble, but just maybe, you know, again, maybe part of why Ebiketie played in the first game is just the lack of depth that they have at some of those positions. Do you feel like that's a guy that is going to play a lot tomorrow? Is there somebody else that you're targeting?
Yeah, with Arnold Ebiketie, it was interesting because in the last two preseason games, I think I even wrote this at some point, that it's been a surprise for me to see him playing as much as he is. But I think it goes, especially I remember looking up in the fourth quarter of that Miami game, and he's out there, and I'm like, why in the world is AK out there? And it didn't really make any sense to me at the time. But then the more I think you talk to coaches or you talk to Arnold Ebiketie himself, it's kind of like maybe they have him working on stuff. He's talked about wanting to establish himself as a pass rusher this year in a way that maybe he didn't last year. I know he made the joke back in OTAs. He was like, I left a lot of production out on the field that I really want to get back this year. And I think this year, being a second year in the league, that's a goal of his. And so maybe they have him working on pass rush moves with some of these third string guys against Miami and the Bengals. And so I'm curious. I'm just as curious, I think, as everybody else to see someone like Arnold Ebiketie, how much he does play in this third preseason game, as I think they continue to figure out exactly what his strengths are.
You know, Tori, I know fans, you know, have been a little bit upset just from, well, we're not seeing enough of the starters, and we need our guys to play more and build that chemistry. But in today's NFL, look, that comes from practice. I mean, that's not preseason game action. I mean, that's more of a fan thing. I think that the first team did plenty on offense, and I've seen, I'm not going to learn anything if they play 5 or 10 more snaps. So I think they've done enough with their first team. But really, these practices are, and especially those joint practices, are where you get that. But I understand the fan philosophy just about we want to see more of our guys.
Yeah, and I understand that too. And I think we're both in agreement. Look, I've never been one to really care that much about the preseason. Of course, you care about the development that you see the guys, you know, taking steps in the right direction and all that kind of stuff and gelling together in practices. But when it comes to the games themselves, it's one of those things that I'm just like, just get through the preseason. Like, you're going to see these starters. This is a long NFL season. You're going to see them. And the longer you can hold them out in the preseason, to me, like, I was going to be fine if we never saw Kyle Pitts in the preseason. But, you know, he goes out there in the first drive, the only drive that the starters had against the Bengals. And it's like, okay, that was enough. I don't need to see any more. And it was honestly more than enough. And so I kind of fall under the camp of, you know, don't play them if you have any reservations about them at all. And I understand why fans feel differently. They want to see these guys that, for a lot of people, they haven't seen them play together. But again, you and I have been out to practice. We've seen them play together. We can see how they gel together. Mm-hmm. But I understand that the fans can't see that on a day-to-day basis. So the preseason games are the moments to see it. So I understand both sides.
Tori McElhaney from AtlantaFalcons.com joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You know, one guy who has really stood out in the preseason, and in fact, he made Pro Football Focus's preseason week number two team is DeMarco Hellams. And, you know, he's a guy that I go back to. I know he's a good player, but I think that this is a Jerry Gray influence, you know, on a kid like that, where he's playing aggressive, he's ball hungry, he's going after things, he's making plays all over the field. He's really been impressive so far in these first 2 weeks of the preseason.
Yeah, he has, and it's interesting because I'm glad that you brought him up, because I actually wrote a full profile on him that ran this morning on AtlantaFalcons.com, and I talked to Dave Huxtable, who is spent the last two. He's now on the Falcons staff working with the defensive line alongside Ryan Nielsen, but he was at Alabama for the last 2 years as an analyst, and being able to talk to him about kind of building context to what Arthur Smith has said after every single preseason game of DeMarco Hellams, the guy that we're seeing right now is the same guy that we scouted out of Alabama and that we saw show up for Alabama. And talking to Dave Huxtable, it was like, what does that mean? And he's like, well, you see him going out and he's laying the hammer with some of these tackles. And he was like, and I think something that he improved upon in training camp was exactly what we were talking about, where it was understanding coverages and understanding the right places to be and how to play certain guys in certain coverages. And that all comes from Steve Jackson and comes from Jerry Gray and the work that they've been putting in. Dave Huxtable said that there's been a definite jump in what DeMarco Hellams has done in terms of the techniques and the fundamentals that he's using, and that all goes back to coaching.
One thing I am a little bit just confused about, and I hope you can kind of help me maybe make sense of all of this. So D. Alford had the punt return for a touchdown in week one, and we know that he may be a candidate, but he's not listed in the top three on the depth chart, and Mike Hughes is listed at number one, who hasn't returned a punt in the preseason. And I'm just a little bit confused about where we're at with the punt return game. Is it Mike Hughes' job to lose, or is it a D. Alford job to lose? I mean, where kind of are we with that, with, again, D. Alford not even in the top three right now?
Yeah, I'll say this, and I mean this with my whole heart, soul, and being. The depth chart means absolutely nothing. And I so I would just take everything that you see there with a grain of salt, because really and truly, Mike Hughes isn't practicing right now. He's not going to play in this third and final preseason game. So it's hard for me to sit here and say that, yeah, he's going to be ready to go out week one and return punts. And maybe he will, but at this point in time, I would be more comfortable sending out someone like D. Alford, who we have seen return punts and, you know, practice in that setting. And so what that means for the future of the punt returner, I'm not sure. But I think for right now, because you don't have – Mike Hughes is working through that soft tissue injury that Arthur Smith said he is the last, like, 2 weeks, and that they'll reevaluate before week one, I think that's kind of where we're left.
What does your gut tell you when you think Jeff Okuda is going to be back with this team?
Well, Arthur Smith said that it would probably be sometime in the first few weeks of the season. Now, I'm going to be really, really curious to see if that means week two or if it means week three, or there's also the option to, you know, put him on the 53-man roster come cuts on Tuesday and then move him to IR. But then, of course, that means missing four games. So it's all about where they think he is in his progression in terms of rehabbing that ankle. It's like, do you think that if you think that you can have him out there 100% ready to go in week two or week three, then he doesn't go on IR. But I think on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this coming week, we'll have more of an understanding as to what they are thinking with Jeff Okuda and what that injury entails.
Last question for you, Torrey. Give me one or two players that you think are on the bubble legitimately and have the most to prove potentially tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see guys like Josh Ali, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, John Fitzpatrick. Those three, like, pass catcher skill guys, I think are – you always kind of look at those wide receivers or DBs as places that you can kind of pick and choose from. And it's like, okay, how many receivers and tight ends is this Falcons team wanting to carry into the first week of the season? And so that's something I'm really curious to see, those guys especially, because I think everywhere else I feel pretty confident. And then, of course, there's also the question of going back to the guy that we were talking about before, DeMarco Helms. Like, you know that you have a pretty full list of safeties that are going to be on this team. So Jesse Bates, Richie Grant, Jalen Hawkins, maybe Micah Abernathy. That's four safeties. Are you willing to carry a fifth? And would that fifth be a guy like DeMarco Helms? I think he's shown out in the preseason. So did he do enough to earn a spot?
Think Mayfield is on that list?
I'm very curious to see. I wonder if, because just this past week with practice, he's kind of slid down working with the third team offensive line instead of the second team. So I'm just as curious about that one as everybody else, I think.
Yeah, I think he's done some good things in the run game going north and south, but the pass protection is still a little bit questionable. But anyway, that's a discussion for another time. Torrey McElhaney, you can find her on our personal Twitter page, @Torrey_McElhaney. Check out all of her work at AtlantaFalcons.com, doing real good stuff there. And she joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Torrey, as always, appreciate a few minutes on the show. We will certainly chat again soon here.
Awesome. Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
You got it. John Chuckery, we'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Right now, Braves are clinging to a 1-0 lead here as Charlie Morton has pitched really, really well tonight. So he is now up to, I know he was at 9 strikeouts. Yeah, 9 strikeouts. He's got a 5 innings, 1 hit, no run, no walk, 9 strikeout night. And he's got 75 pitches. Now, we saw this last night with Elder, where when Elder came out for the 6th inning, all of a sudden he couldn't pitch again. Let's hope that doesn't happen to Charlie Morton. Be nice to kind of rest the bench. But Morton has been, I mean, nothing short of fantastic. And Quintana hasn't been bad at all. And the Braves have not homered in this game. They actually got their RBI from Marcell Ozuna. Riley scored. But Ronnie does have a stolen base, so he's up to 59 steals. But Charlie Morton has been the man tonight. 5 innings, 1 hit, no runs allowed, no walks, obviously no home runs, 9 strikeouts, and only 75 pitches through 5 innings. That's pretty efficient. And again, that should probably get him at least 6, maybe into the 7th. and somebody on Twitter last night said, Day-Day, that I put the Fanoinks on Bryce Elder, bragging him up and all that kind of stuff. And I put the so I did a mush. You know, did you ever see a Bronx Tale?
Oh yeah.
So remember when they're rolling the dice down there with the young kid and all that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And they got the guy that no, I can't let him see that face. Can't, you know, mush, you know. Again, I mushed him. You know, I mushed him last night. So hopefully the same thing doesn't happen to Charlie Morton. Maybe we shouldn't even talk about his performance here tonight. Maybe we shouldn't talk about anything that's going on with it. But Morton has been outstanding. Braves clinging right now to a 1-0 lead. So we are in the bottom of the 5th inning with a couple of outs right now. And I believe Austin Riley is at the plate. So we'll keep you up to date all night long about the Atlanta Braves. As probably by the time we get out of here, we should have a victory or a loss. And again, we're hoping not just for a victory tonight, but the other thing is we're obviously rooting for the Washington Nationals, who right now they're down 6-0. So if they lose, no matter what happens, the Mets are still going to be a half game ahead. Right now it's a half game difference between the Mets and the Nationals, and we were hoping for a victory over the Mets, but then a Washington Nationals victory where those two teams would flip and Washington would overtake the Mets, and the Mets would be officially in last place. But as of right now, things not looking so good for the Washington Nationals as they are down 6-0 at the end of 6 innings. So a man can dream, right? We can't always get to everything that they want. So, all right, speaking of not getting what we want, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, Jason McIntyre is at it again, and, you know how I feel about it. I don't like Jason McIntyre. I think he's hot take guy. I think he's a minor league version of hot take Tommy and all this kind of stuff. And he's getting back into this tired old debate of Steph Curry versus Magic Johnson. And he's talking about how, well, Magic was drafted on the Lakers, who had one of the 4 best players in the history of basketball. Okay, and that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And then a few years later, they got James Worthy. Okay, does Jason even know how they got James Worthy? They made a trade with the Cavs, that's why they got James Worthy. Is what's his name? Not Ted Stepien, was it? No, what it was it Ted Stepien, the old general manager for the Cavs. I can't remember now. But again, it was a stupid trade, and the Cavaliers ended up giving up the pick that would become James Worthy, right? And that's all that happened. That's a That's a dumb Cavs thing that they used to do back in the early 80s. But nonetheless, look, I think both guys are magnificent. And his debate is, well, Magic was never the best player on the Los Angeles Lakers. Curry was multiple times the best player on the Lakers. Are you kidding me? Is that really our argument? With all due respect to Jason McIntyre, who I don't even know what year he was born, but I sure as hell know he's not older than I am and didn't live through every moment of Magic Johnson's career, who is without question, the best point guard in the history of the NBA and a unique player at that. Remember in his rookie year when he played all five positions in the playoffs, started at center in game 7, and they won that, and they won the NBA title? And by the way, he talks about, well, you know, Kareem's one of the best players of all time. Yeah, understand, when Magic Johnson was drafted, he was drafted at 20 years old. You know how old Kareem was in his rookie year? Kareem was 32 years old in his rookie year. 32. You think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1984 or 5 was the same player that he was in 1972? You think that's the same guy that we watched in the mid-80s for the Lakers? You think that was the same guy that was Lou Alcindor? And I'm not knocking Kareem. It's just everybody gets older. But he was 32 in his rookie year when Magic was 20. And did anybody think that Magic didn't revolutionize the entire league? Is the weight of the NBA, again, Jason, you putz, do you know how the NBA finals were telecast day-day back in the late 70s?
Weren't they taped or something like that?
They were on tape delay.
Yeah.
They weren't even shown live. You know why, day-day? Because the league was all coked out. The guy revolutionized the NBA modern game, brought the Lakers and Celtics back to prominence with Larry Bird in their rivalry. Showtime versus the Celtics. Jason McIntyre's a putz. I'm sorry. Again, he's just a complete putz. I'm sure he's making really good money. I'm sure he's making great money because he's always on with his goofball buddy, Colin Cowherd. They're always, you know, lockstep with one another. Did you see where Cowherd said the other day, like, he was going off on Geno Smith, how Geno Smith is never going to win the AFC championship? Only one problem.
He's not an AFC.
Exactly. It was going off about Geno Smith. Geno Smith will never win the AFC championship. It's probably because he plays in the NFC, but that's, you know, again. And he was ranting about it, too. Jason McIntyre is just a complete putz. And then he says, then he goes on to say in the clip that I heard, well, except for a few years when Durant was with the Warriors, he was the best player on the Warriors. Okay. So, again, there were times when he wasn't the best player on his team, and we're talking about debating him versus the all-time greatest point guard. And again, Jason McIntyre is a complete tool. He's a complete nutbag. He's a complete goof. I really think that he's a guy that does things just to get the hot takey response. Like, he comes across as a guy who doesn't necessarily believe what he says, but wants to get hot take. And look, he's made a cottage industry of it. We got, again, I said this to my last producer. We got to get more hot takey. We got to figure out how to get more hot takey. We got to figure out a way to just go over the top nutty and say the most ridiculous things in the history of sports broadcasting. Like, we got to get in that business. That business pays really well.
Well, you just got to start, you know, you got to start saying you got sources.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
yeah,
nobody's checking who your sources
right,
are.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Listen, I was talking to one of my sources the other day, and he said that, you know, Kurt Rambis was one of the great forwards in his, I mean, whatever. Again, we just got to find a way. We got to amp up the hot takiness. amp it up so we can be more hot takey, because this has become a cottage industry for things. So anyway, that's what's bugging Chuckery. Jason McIntyre, by and large, just bugs Chuckery completely. So, all right, who's got the most to prove tomorrow night? We can take your phone calls if you want to jump in on this. 404-726-0929. We can circle back to some of the conversation we had earlier. Who's got the most to prove? What are you looking for tomorrow night? I'm going to give you my thoughts about who's got the most to prove coming up. Chuck Ray in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Right now, Braves are clinging to a 1-0 lead here as Charlie Morton has pitched really, really well tonight. So he is now up to, I know he was at 9 strikeouts. Yeah, 9 strikeouts. He's got a five innings, 1 hit, no run, no walk, 9 strikeout night. And he's got 75 pitches. Now, we saw this last night with Elder, where when Elder came out for the 6th inning, all of a sudden he couldn't pitch again. Let's hope that doesn't happen to Charlie Morton. Be nice to kind of rest the bench. But Morton has been, I mean, nothing short of fantastic. And Quintana hasn't been bad at all. And the Braves have not homered in this game. They actually got their RBI from Marcell Ozuna. Riley scored. But Ronnie does have a stolen base, so he's up to 59 steals. But Charlie Morton has been the man tonight. Five innings, one hit, no runs allowed, no walks, obviously no home runs, nine strikeouts, and only 75 pitches through five innings. That's pretty efficient. And, again, that should probably get him at least six, maybe into the seventh. And somebody on Twitter last night said, Day-Day, that I put the Fanoinks on Bryce Elder, bragging him up and all that kind of stuff. And I put the so I did a mush. You know, did you ever see a Bronx Tale?
Oh yeah.
So remember when they're rolling the dice down there with the young kid and all that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they got the guy that no, I can't let him see that face. Can't, you know, mush. You know, again, I mushed him. You know, I mushed him last night. So hopefully the same thing doesn't happen to Charlie Morton. Maybe we shouldn't even talk about his performance here tonight. Maybe we shouldn't talk about anything that's going on with it. But Morton has been outstanding. Braves clinging right now to a 1-0 lead. So we are in the bottom of the fifth inning with a couple of outs right now. And I believe Austin Riley is at the plate. So we'll keep you up to date all night long about the Atlanta Braves as probably by the time we get out of here, we should have a victory or a loss. And again, we're hoping not just for a victory tonight, but the other thing is we're obviously rooting for the Washington Nationals, who right now they're down 6-0. So if they lose, no matter what happens, the Mets are still going to be a half game ahead. Right now it's a half game difference between the Mets and the Nationals. And we were hoping for a victory over the Mets, but then a Washington Nationals victory where those two teams would flip and Washington would overtake the Mets, and the Mets would be officially in last place. But as of right now, things not looking so good for the Washington Nationals as they are down 6-0 at the end of six innings. So a man can dream, right? We can't always get to everything that they want. So, all right, speaking of not getting what we want, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckering.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, Jason McIntyre is at it again, and, you know how I feel about it. I don't like Jason McIntyre. I think he's a hot take guy. I think he's a minor league version of Hot Take Tommy and all this kind of stuff. And he's getting back into this tired old debate of Steph Curry versus Magic Johnson. And he's talking about how, well, Magic was drafted on the Lakers, who had one of the four best players in the history of basketball. Okay, and that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And then a few years later, they got James Worthy. Okay, does Jason even know how they got James Worthy? They made a trade with the Cavs, that's why they got James Worthy. Is what's his name? Not Ted Stepien, was it Ted Stepien, the old general manager for the Cavs? I can't remember now. But again, it was a stupid trade, and the Cavaliers ended up giving up the pick that would become James Worthy, right? And that's all that happened. That's a dumb Cavs thing that they used to do back in the early 80s. But nonetheless. Look, I think both guys are magnificent. And his debate is, well, Magic was never the best player on the Los Angeles Lakers. Curry was multiple times the best player on the Lakers. Are you kidding me? Is that really our argument? With all due respect to Jason McIntyre, who I don't even know what year he was born, but I sure as hell know he's not older than I am. And didn't live through every moment of Magic Johnson's career, who is, without question, the best point guard in the history of the NBA. And a unique player at that. Remember in his rookie year when he played all five positions in the playoffs, started at center in game seven, and they won that, and they won the NBA title? And by the way, he talks about, well, Kareem's one of the best players of all time. Yeah, understand. When Magic Johnson was drafted, he was drafted at 20 years old. You know how old Kareem was in his rookie year? Kareem was 32 years old in his rookie year. 32. You think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1984 or 5 was the same player that he was in 1972? You think that's the same guy that we watched in the mid-80s for the Lakers? You think that was the same guy that was Lou Alcindor? And I'm not knocking Kareem. It's just everybody gets older. But he was 32 in his rookie year when Magic was 20. And did anybody think that Magic didn't revolutionize the entire league? Is the weight of the NBA, again, Jason, you putz, do you know how the NBA finals were telecast day-day back in the late 70s?
Weren't they taped or something like
that?
They
were on tape delay.
Yeah.
They weren't even shown live. You know why, Day-Day? Because the league was all coked out. The guy revolutionized the NBA modern game, brought the Lakers and Celtics back to prominence with Larry Bird in their rivalry. Showtime versus the Celtics. Jason McIntyre's a putz. I'm sorry. Again, he's just a complete putz. I'm sure he's making really good money. I'm sure he's making great money because he's always on with his goofball buddy, Colin Cowherd. They're always, you know, lockstep with one another. Did you see where Cowherd said the other day, like, he was going off on Geno Smith, how Geno Smith is never going to win the AFC championship? Only one problem.
He's not an AFC.
Exactly. It was going off about Geno Smith. Geno Smith will never win the AFC championship. That's probably because he plays in the NFC, but that's, you know, again. And he was ranting about it, too. Jason McIntyre is just a complete putz. And then he says, then he goes on to say in the clip that I heard, well, except for a few years when Durant was with the Warriors, he was the best player on the Warriors. Okay. So, again, there were times when he wasn't the best player on his team, and we're talking about debating him versus the all-time greatest point guard. And again, Jason McIntyre is a complete tool. He's a complete nutbag. He's a complete goof. I really think that he's a guy that does things just to get the hot takey response. Like, he comes across as a guy who doesn't necessarily believe what he says, but wants to get hot take. And look, he's made a cottage industry of it. We got, again, I said this to my last producer. We got to get more hot takey. We got to figure out how to get more hot takey. We got to figure out a way to just go over the top nutty and say the most ridiculous things in the history of sports broadcasting. Like, we got to get in that business. That business pays really well.
Well, you just got to start, you know, you got to start saying you got sources.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
nobody's checking who your sources are. Yeah, right.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Listen, I was talking to one of my sources the other day, and he said that, you know, Kurt Rambis was one of the great forwards in his, I mean, whatever. We just got to find a way. We got to amp up the hot takiness. Amp it up so we can be more hot takey, because this has become a cottage industry for things. So anyway, that's what's bugging Chuckery. Jason McIntyre, by and large, just bugs Chuckery completely. So, all right, who's got the most to prove tomorrow night? We can take your phone calls if you want to jump in on this. 404-726-0929. We can circle back to some of the conversation we had earlier. Who's got the most to prove? What are you looking for tomorrow night? I'm going to give you my thoughts about who's got the most to prove coming up. Chuck Ray in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 910 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.